So it's a big deal these days, this thing that we call identity theft protection. We are aware of identity theft. It affects a lot of us, right? We try to guard against it as best we can because it's rampant. It happens. Many of us have suffered that. I don't know about you, but a lot of us think about identity theft in terms of our credit cards. How many of you have ever had a credit card hacked? I have, multiple times. Or how about this? We think of it happening on our computers, and so we have antivirus software, and we try not to fall for phishing schemes on our computers. It was ironic, last Saturday, as I was preparing to preach this sermon last Sunday, none of you were here for some reason, I don't know why, I got several texts from people who said they had gotten emails from me, but they weren't from me, and they weren't from my account. They were from an account made to look like my account. It was R. Foster at SafernaParkUMC.gmail.org, and that's not my address. But those kinds of things are out there, and I know that we try to, best we can, protect and sift through and make sense of what things come into our inboxes. A lot of us try to protect this because if you have your Social Security number hacked or taken, that can be a serious thing when somebody can set up an identity and actually draw down benefits that are yours, and it can be a real mess to get out of. And so we think about identity theft in those terms. There are no lack of companies trying to protect us. You get the emails and you get the advertisements all the time that pop up on your Facebook page and everywhere else from Identity Guard and ID Shield and ID Watchdog and maybe the one that people see the most, LifeLock, relentlessly protecting your identity. And some of you may even work in those fields. That's a big industry right now, cybersecurity and trying to keep our identities safe. Not to say that that's not important. I hope that we do all that we can to be cautious and protective of our, particularly our online identities. That's really important. But I want to suggest something that's even more important today. And that is having our core identities protected. Being clear about who we are and who it is that God calls us to be. And the best form of identity theft protection that I know of is your baptism. It's your baptism. Now that may sound kind of simplistic, but hear me out for a little bit. When Jesus comes to the Jordan River to be baptized by John, John has already made it clear that he's not the one. He says, there's somebody coming after me who is far greater than I am. I am not worthy to untie his sandals. I'm not the one. I'm baptizing you with water, but someone's going to come and baptize you with the Spirit and with fire. And it goes on to say that as the crowds came to John to be baptized in the river, one day Jesus shows up among them. And he's baptized too. And when that happens, there's a voice that comes out of the heavens. This is my son, my beloved one. With you I am well pleased. It's an amazing affirmation at Jesus' baptism, but I would argue that it is the affirmation made at every baptism. At every child of God, you are my beloved child. With you, I am well pleased. It is this identity theft protection that girds Jesus for what will come next in his life as he heads to the wilderness to fight off all of these other questions about who he is. Is he a miracle worker? Is he here to test God and to just use his powers willy-nilly? Or is he called for a mission of salvation and a mission that looks very different than that? Identity theft protection. Now, we are blessed in this congregation to celebrate the sacrament of baptism all the time. There are some months where 3 out of the 4 Sundays, we typically don't do baptisms on the first Sunday of the month because of communion, but 3 out of the 4 Sundays, we might have a baptism at one of our services. And there are some Sundays that we have baptism at multiple services. So throughout the year, it looks often like this. We will take the water from the pitcher and we'll pour it into this font and we will sprinkle water on a child and we will walk them around and celebrate their presence in our midst and say, this is a child of God. And then we ask you to renew that as you welcome them into the faith, right? Every baptism is significant. But some are more memorable. This past year, we had a couple that particularly stick out in my mind. This is on ASP Sunday, or VIM Sunday. I think that's why I'm wearing a t-shirt like that. But we had the Brunk family here at our 9:30 service. How many of you saw the baptism of these three children from the Brunk family. This is John and Susan and three of their children. Eli is the oldest, and then Eden and Ethan. They made it real easy to remember all those names, right? So anyway, we ask questions of the parents like we do, the covenantal question. We ask questions of the children. Do you want to follow Jesus? And they all responded. And then I got to kind of step aside, and this is their grandfather on the right of the screen, and he's also a United Methodist pastor, and he got to baptize each of the children, welcome them into it. We had like a little horse trough right here, and we had set it up as the baptismal font for the day. They had wanted to have an outdoor baptism, but this was November, and so that was not going to work. So we brought the creek inside, and so each of them stepped in and were drenched in the Spirit and in God's love. Eden went down and came up with joy. Ethan was the one who was most suspect of the whole thing. You can see it on his face. Like, what are mom and dad doing to me now? But even he came out and came up out of that water. And then they all wrapped in towels and wrapped in God's love. They received an anointing on their foreheads of oil from their grandfather. You are God's beloved child. With you, I am well pleased. The other baptism I want to tell you about took place last summer. And I had the occasion to baptize Ted Matheson's granddaughter. How many of you know Ted? Ted is real involved here, great leader, amazing servant heart. And so it was a joy just because this was Ted's granddaughter, but it became even more of a joy as I got to meet 10-year-old Isabella and her younger brother who was being baptized that day as well. But Isabella and I met and we talked about what the baptism was going to mean to her. And we asked our parents, if their children are old enough, to maybe do an art project with their kids, like to do something to remember their baptism. And as the kids grow older, to do art projects that remember their baptism. And so I asked Isabella, because she's 10 and she could take it in, I said, when you get back to Florida, will you make me something and send it up to Marilyn? And she delivered this to me recently when she was up here around Thanksgiving time. You can see it better on the screen. It's a little cross with a little baptismal font. It's got little blue glitter in there to represent the water. But that's not what really makes it special. What makes it special is that scroll that's hanging there. And she wrote what her baptism meant to her. This is 10-year-old Isabella. To me, baptism is a way of showing your respect and your love to Jesus. When one is baptized, they are making a promise to follow Jesus. Following Jesus means you are following the way of peace, love, and kindness. We should always keep in mind that being peaceful, being kind, and being loving is what Jesus has always wanted us to do. He sacrificed himself for us, and by doing these kind acts, we are repaying him in a wonderful way. Always remember that good deeds do not go unnoticed, and that you will always be loved. And that you will always be loved. I would say that 10-year-old Isabella had a pretty good grasp on the meaning of her baptism. And today we all get to join her and reflect on what it means for all of us to have been baptized into the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. What it means for all of us to have claimed this identity. What it means for us to have gone into the waters with Jesus and to have heard the affirmation from God. You are my beloved child. The best identity theft protection that there is from all those competing voices. Now, it's been said that trying to baptize cats is not a good thing. How many of you have cats? Cats don't really like water, do they, all that much? In her great book, Gilead, by Marilyn Robinson, the story is told from the perspective of a pastor who's at the end of his life. And he's getting older and reflecting back on his life. And he's recalling for his son the story of how he, who grew up as a preacher's kid himself, and another friend, who was also a PK, they decided one day, since they had seen their dads do it, that it would be a good idea to baptize the cats. There's a cat in the neighborhood just had a litter, and so there are all these cute little kittens running around. They thought they would do the sacrament of baptism for the cats. Now, the mother cat had other ideas, and about midway through took her baby kittens away, so they didn't get quite to finish the act. But later on, he's reflecting with his father, and he says, theoretically, what do you think about cat baptisms? And his father, who was kind of old school, says, he gave him kind of a stern lecture about respecting the sacrament. To which he replied to his father, I love his earnest response. He says, he felt that they had been respectful, for we thought the whole world of those cats. We loved those cats. We were being respectful. And now at the end of his life, he was reflecting back and remembering trying to baptize those cats. And he said, I remember those warm little brows. And I remember the difference between trying to pet a cat and touch it with the pure intention of blessing it. The pure intention of blessing it. And he goes on to say about baptism, baptism doesn't enhance sacredness, but it acknowledges it. It doesn't suddenly make a child more holy, but it acknowledges that that child is holy, a holy creation of God, belonging to God from the first day of its life. When we are baptized, we are blessed beyond measure with the pure intention of blessing. What does your baptism mean to you? What does it mean to be loved by God with such a strong love? A love that from God's side of the covenant never lets down. Occasionally, you see, we run away from our baptisms. We live with spiritual amnesia. We forget who we are. But the good news is, friends, that God's love never fails. And God never forgets who we are. We are always God's beloved child. You are my son, whom I dearly love. In you I find happiness, joy. You see, friends, there is a great joy and there is a great freedom, I would say, that when we live with that awareness, when we internalize that, when we own our baptisms, when we know that we really are God's beloved, then we are free to express our worth than trying every day to somehow earn our worth. You see the difference? That's one of my favorite theological differences. That grace means we are free to express our worth instead of always having to earn it. What joy there is in living like that. For three Thursdays in the month of January, I'm taking a class up in Baltimore on the mystical poetry of Mary Oliver. It's me and about 29 women in their 60s and 70s and early 80s. I'm the only guy in the class. I guess when you're a preacher, you have a schedule that lets you go to a class at 1 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon. Probably not most men can do that. There was one other guy there the first week. I'm convinced he was dragged by his wife. But I went there willingly. And so it was with sadness that we entered the class this past Thursday and came to find out about her death. Mary Oliver, the poet, died in Florida this week at the age of 83. Some of you may have heard that. She'd been battling lymphoma. And so we had a moment to remember and give thanks for her life. This class has been going on. They offer this about every year for the last 6 years. So some of those people in that class, this is my first year, but some of the people in that class have grown really close to the poet. And those words have spoken life and truth into them. And so there was a real moment of gratitude and loss in that class. And we read her poems in light of her passing. We read a couple of her poems that spoke about death. And I want to share with you in closing one of her poems called Wild Geese, one of her most famous poems. And it goes like this. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, one of my favorite sights in all the world, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over, announcing your place in the family of things. Over and over, announcing your place in the family of things. Friends, on this baptismal renewal Sunday, I'm here to tell you that it's not only the geese that cry out to us, but it is God, that voice that affirms us from heaven, that says, "You are my beloved child. You have a place in the world. You have a place in my family. In you, I find happiness." What a way to live. What joy and what freedom. I invite you today to remember your baptism and be thankful. And to know it is our best guard against identity theft. Amen. In a few moments, we will be coming to the stations and receiving the mark of our baptism. I'm going to ask Byron to come and invite you into this, and we will affirm our faith. You'll touch the water. You can take a shell. The shell is an ancient symbol of baptism in the Christian tradition. A lot of early fonts were made out of a shell to hold the water. And we will mark your forehead and say, "Remember your baptism and be thankful." Here's your invitation.
A reading, Still Waters by Tom Schumann. Like water skimmers, we simply glide along the smooth facade of our lives till you come running up, diving right in, coming up with rivulets, caressing your big grin as you splash water in our eyes so we can see. We drift along just below the surface, occasionally coming up for air, hoping you cannot spy us hiding in the shadowed pools. But you step in with your waders on, tying the special fly the Spirit made for you, casting, casting, casting again and again until we take that first bite of your grace and we are hooked. Throwing caution to the wind, you drive out onto our frozen souls, setting up the shack, chipping through the ice, dropping your line in the hole, patiently waiting while you pass the bread and bottle around with your two buddies to pull us into the warmth of your heart.
Will you stand and join in this affirmation of faith as we come to renew our baptisms? As the community of the baptized, we affirm that we belong to God, the one who creates all things, in whose image all people are made. We belong to Christ, who has loved us, healed us, and called us, and claimed us with his Spirit. We share in his death and resurrection and ongoing ministry. We belong to the Spirit. We are connected to one another as the body of Christ. We affirm that God continues to speak to us through Scripture, gives us the gifts of forgiveness, resurrection, and eternal life, and the gift of participating in the healing of the world by God's grace. As God's beloved, with brothers and sisters all over the world, we devote ourselves to God and to God's kingdom as we renew our baptisms and commit ourselves to love God and neighbor, serve others with joy, and follow faithfully in the way of Christ. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to invite Lee. I think we will need you here at the center. And I'm going to also invite Gaines to come forward over here. And Byron, if you'll serve with Gaines here, and Heather, and I will serve at this station. If you would like, you are invited to come now and renew your baptism, to receive the mark of the cross, and to claim your place that God has already claimed for you in God's family. Won't you come?